Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is a good one. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to put out one scripture to us, and hopefully it'll tie into where we're going to be today. So Hebrews 6 is where we are, but I'm going to be looking at James 5, verses 7 and 8. And that says, be patient, therefore, brethren. So he's talking to all of us, every one of us, including your pastor, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Verse 8 says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Patience. And I hope it fits into the theme today that God at least has been working in my life, and that is some patience. Patience is, where's Seth? He gave a wonderful sermon last week, I feel. Sorry that I wasn't here, but he did make a statement about patience, makrothomeo. It's not only being, patience isn't just being able to, the ability to wait, to sit. A lot of people can just sit and do nothing. Pat says, that's when I goon out. I just, where are you? And it's like, what? That's not patience. Patience is the ability that we have due to the Holy Spirit and our trust in God to keep a good attitude while we're waiting. So attitude, think about that, because, you know, sometimes our attitude gets in the way of what God is trying to do in our lives. It's our own personal opinion, and we need to be careful, because God says, you're not your own, Doug. You bought with a price. Glorify me. Amen. Our attitude sometimes speaks much louder than words do. So let's go to Hebrews 6. And I was going to read the whole thing, you know, the whole chapter, because these thoughts have to be brought together. It's not just little individuals, but there's nuggets in every one of the verses that we've put in there. There are themes in there that I feel God is trying to impress on all of us. And if we have ears to hear, we should meditate on some of these words, not just read a whole block and get on to the next. And what I've been intrigued by was verse 9, if you remember. And on the sound, well, there's nobody back there, so that's what it is. I did get, this is a stop at the from the Lord stuff, I hope. I've gotten 3 or 4 calls this week that more sound on the people who are with us at home, they can't hear. So if we could back there on the soundboard, I don't know how we do that, but I don't want to leave here forgetting that for them. Gets a little frustrating when you can't hear. Those of us that are losing it kind of know that. And I'd like to, sorry for that. If you're at home listening, we are going to get on that and make it right. But I've been stuck in verse 9, if you remember. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. I've been talking about what accompanies salvation. We all have these ideas, but I feel that there's so much more that we've been missing in the church about the things that should accompany our salvation. And I hope none of us are tired yet of going over these areas and going over these sections of scripture, because in them, I think that's where we're going to see growth. That's where our life right now in these times need to stand firmly on. And what the Lord has been showing me, and I hope, I know one other, and I won't speak a name, but Lord's been showing me about my compassion. I never had any to a degree before I was a Christian. I got an overabundance of it once I became a Christian. I couldn't believe that these things were happening in my heart. What am I turning into, some little wimp or something? And then I noticed that my compassion started waning in the last 3 to 4 years, let's say. And God has been really dealing with me, and I hope he is dealing with each and every one of you about compassion, because that's one of the earmarks of you and I. They'll know us by our love, but love is a small word. What's involved in that love? Compassion and forgiveness just keeps growing and growing. And he's been working that in me. And over this week, I listened to Seth again. Thank you, Seth. There you are. And I started in again. All right, where are we going to go, Lord? And I got to verse 15. It says, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And if you underline or take notes in that verse, underline patiently, underline endured, and underline the promise. 15 on this last week, not that he's left my compassion, but he says, okay, we've got that. Now let's move on to what needs to be corrected next. So I guess I'm speaking out loud because maybe it could help just one other person in here in a point of growth. You know, I ask myself an awful lot of times, Doug, what makes me think, what makes me act, what makes me speak the way I do at times? But then as a pastor and a friend, I look out there and I think, well, man, what makes you think and act and speak the way you do? It's that battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I don't feel that we think hard and long enough on the fact that once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we have become supernatural beings. Now, I don't mean, you know, like a, what do they call those things in the comic books? An action hero, you know. No, but there's something way different in us than when we first started. And I feel I've got to acknowledge that more. I've got to not worry about what somebody might think about that. My compassion, my mercy, my forgiveness, these are things that should accompany my salvation. That's at least what I'm seeing. And I pray we all see it in this today. And what became a lesson for me here was this 15. He went from compassion to patience and endurance and the promise. So you know how my mind works when it does. I think in acrostics, patience, endurance, promise. So I thought, well, that's a way I can remember that if I forget. Pep. So I'm hoping this is a pep talk, okay? Tom, again, lovingly called me coach this morning. And a lot of times coaches try to give a pep talk and it turns into a good browbeating, but I hope this isn't that, because this is what he's showing me. Patience, endurance, then the promise. My own little pep talk. And I started looking at that. So if you've underlined that and you look at 15, patience, be patiently endure, patience, endurance, promise. I wanted to notice 15 had a little word in there that said, and so after. That word is important. Sometimes we Christians, we want it now. We prayed about it. We prayed about it here in the church. We prayed about it at home. God doesn't work. And what happens is the same thing that was happening to the Hebrews. They are ready to give up, or they're ready to fade out, or they're thinking maybe God isn't listening to me. Have I done something wrong? And then we immerse ourselves in these self-will actions to try to please and get back to God. We need to start looking that God has got a program for each and every one of us. We need to count on him, not our works, let's call it, not our things that we've just, well, this is my devotion. I can't talk to you right now. God just wants our devotion, not our devotionals or what we've created. So after, Doug, you patiently endured, then you're going to see my promises. But I want it now. And how many of you have kids that, but we need to do it now. Look, can't we go now? I want it now. That little word after, I started looking, it's pretty much for every one of us. It's the little dash that if you're going to have a tombstone or you've visited a graveyard, 1949-2000, let's go 48. Good luck. The dash is what really matters. It's not so much the birth. We had nothing to do with that. It's not so much the last date that we see on that. We didn't have anything to do with that. But it's that dash that you and I combined with the power of the Holy Spirit and our Lord Jesus Christ, that dash is everything. And that's where patience and endurance dwells, I feel. Because that last number, whatever it might be for each one of us, that's where the promise is going to come. Sometimes it comes in the interim. See, because Jesus said, I came that they might have, John 10:10, I came that they might have life, eternal life. So see, there's more to this whole walk that we're living in today, and we're fighting that world we seem and people around us and everything that comes again. I've been trying to train myself to be careful not to say what I really feel like sometimes. But it's that dash that we have to focus on today. What am I going to do with the dash? Because I don't know how much more time is left in that dash from 1949 to the day that the Lord calls me home. Do I have the time to make the best of what I have left? That's really the question. What am I going to do with it? My patience, my endurance. So I hope that spurs something in there for each one of us to look at as far as honestly, how's my patience? How's my patience with those around me? How's my patience with whatever it might be? And if it's short, well, can I endure this through the strength of the Lord? Can I look at the promises ahead of me and realize that they're still to come, that I might not get them like a spoiled little child today? But if I trust him, if I love him, if I take that patience that we, just like a farmer, you know, why was that farmer in that verse I read? Why did he put a farmer? A farmer throws down seed and it says he patiently waits for it. He doesn't throw it down and then run out the next day and make a corn casserole. It takes a while. God said, I came to give you life, I was saying in John 10:10. And life more abundantly. So there's an eternal life that he's definitely speaking about, but he's speaking about an abundant life right now. Abundant life, that's now, right now. So I have to ask, am I living abundantly? Am I living in that hope and expectation of the promises that God has got for me? Because I don't know how, I'm on that dash, I'm a lot closer to this date than I was to that date. And all around us, we're seeing people pass. We were talking about that this morning. And it's supposed to get us to the point where we consider our own lives. Where have I been? Where am I going? Where am I right now, though? That's going to matter. So I started thinking, Doug, what keeps you, what keeps me from patience and endurance? And I hope it's a question that each one of us will go home with today. This might be a little different than my normal, but I really feel that God wants each and every one of us to examine ourselves like we do when we go to the table. Sometimes when we examine ourselves, we might think a little highly of ourselves than we ought to. But when we get there to where it's just you and you and you, your own self, standing in front of the mirror in the morning, trying to put on that other face. How am I doing? How do I look in God's eyes today? How about my patience? How about my endurance over the promises that we know are yea and amen, and they're going to come no matter what we do? But in the interim, how's my faith? How's my patience? And anybody ever, I know this is probably just me. You know, New York Irishman, I haven't said that in a while. I'm the only one who probably loses their patience, right? Come on now. Are you laughing with me or at me? Have you ever lost your patience? Why? Why couldn't I control that? It's because I was in Doug. instead of being in the Holy Spirit. Instead of being in the power of God, that I can do anything. I can keep these. Look what he did here. He put two lips, sometimes a big mustache, two lips, two teeth, one tongue. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why did I lose my patience? What happens when you lose your patience? Then all of a sudden there's no endurance, is there? The heck with this. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to leave that. This is so important as far as the things that accompany salvation. I mean, I can't believe that all these years, in a sense, I've missed it. This is what God is trying to do, just like that farmer that we read in James 5. God is sowing seed. He hasn't stopped. And he's sowing seed in your life, and he's sowing seed in my life. So what happens is, just like I grew radishes this one year, but I couldn't wait when I saw the green stuff come up to pull it out and see how my radishes were. Well, they were kind of small. That's because the package said it takes 45 days to, you know, get going. And then I noticed the longer I leave them, the bigger they got. Same with the Holy Spirit, trying to sow seeds. Sometimes we're just so impatient. We won't endure anything that's going on in our lives. And we try to pick the fruit before God has even matured it in each one of our lives. So again, my question, what keeps you put your name in? From patience and endurance. Even go this way, since you have lost your patience, maybe what made you lose your patience this week? Don't worry about years ago. Don't worry about next week or a meeting you might be going in that you're worried. What made me lose my patience today? Anybody lose it today? Good. Thank you for being honest. So what is it? Let's get moving. Turn to Hebrews 8. We'll go just a jump ahead, a sneak preview of what's coming in 3 or 4 months. Hebrews 8. What made me lose my patience and my endurance? We can all say Satan. Sometimes he has nothing to do with anything in our lives. Do we realize that? He had nothing, but he'll take credit for it in our mouths. Oh, it was Satan that did that flat tire. No, it was the nail at the dump when you drove over it. It had nothing to do with Satan. But when I lost my temper, that was him. No, that was you, Doug. So patience is that thing. But again, sometimes, God, if God would have, sounds like the early Jews, doesn't it? If you would have only done this, it would have been enough. Oh, God, if you would have only done this, it would have been enough. And we always say that in our patience, in our lack of endurance. Is God hearing me? Does God understand what I'm going through? Does he feel? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. He knows what we're going to go through this week before it even comes into any of our lives. And he's preparing to get us through that. He says, I'm going to be with you in the flood. I'm going to be with you in the fire. They won't overflow you. Do I understand that? I must not understand it because I lose my patience. And then I say, that's it. I'm done with this. I'm never going to do this again. So who is it? Well, it's not God. Hebrews 8, let's get moving. Verse 12, listen to what God says. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Couldn't be God. Couldn't be God. Hebrews 13, 5. I mentioned this one on prayer meeting. Remember Lauren and Van, when I was an early young Christian, I looked at the scripture and it says, let your conversation. So I thought that was my speech. Don't be saying even sissy cuss words, you know. And I brought that to the man who led me to the Lord, and he told me, Doug, that's your lifestyle. And I wonder what some of your translations say today. Mine said, let your conversation. So see, it's more than just Christianese and speech in this walk with our Lord. It has much, much more to do than just my conversation. What does your translation say?
New American Standard, let your character character be free.
Your character, your lifestyle, everything that has to do with us. Be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he says, and here's the thing, like I'm saying, patience, endure. It's not God. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So that means in the midst of the waters that are overflowing me, in the midst of the fire that's burning me, and I lose my patience and I go into my tirades, like I'm sure I'd love to hear some of your real tirades, you know, just to compare. God hasn't left. That's his promise. That's the promise that comes with patience and endurance. And then that promise. We notice, let's go back to 6. Seth did again. I know you brought Abraham's life home. 25 years from the time that the statement from the Lord, that promise came into his life, he endured for 25 years before he saw the promise. And as we look at that, I think, how can I endure 25 years? But then what really got me, instead of asking, can I endure another month of this? Can I endure another year of this? I started to see that when the Holy Spirit gave this, he didn't mention Abraham's faults. He didn't mention any of Abraham's failures. What he did in there was put forward in 15 that after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I don't know how much that might mean to you right now, but God's not worried about your faults and your failures if you're in Christ right now. He's concerned. I'm not giving a license for liberty, but God is saying, let's get back to where we need to be. Okay, you messed up on that one, Doug. You blew it. You lost your temper. You screamed at your wife. You screamed at whatever person out in the road. And my wife is basically the Holy Spirit's secretary, because lately that's all she's been telling me. You're going to get shot. Don't yell out the window when people cut you off. And I've always taken that as that's natural for a male driver, isn't it? We're supposed to be that way. See, that's what we excuse. But my patience is right out there on display. When it's the other way around, that's where I think people can see Jesus. Because when they see the other stuff, or people giving up, just giving up, where's the power of God in that? The Jews were getting ready to give up on their newfound faith. I feel that there's myriads of Christians that are getting ready to give up on their newfound faith. And this picture is given to us right here on this earth in relationships with each other, in marriages. I've had it. I'm losing my patience with you. I'm done. I'm gone. We lost everything in those relationships. That's a physical picture of the spiritual. God wants that forgiveness, that love, that compassion, that mercy, that patience, and especially the endurance until the day we see that fruit. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I guess what I'm, without belaboring the point, it's no time to give up. It's no time to give up right now. If we are the embodiment of the power of God, and I'm not making this as a name it and claim it and, you know, we're going to watch the playground right now have 100 children on it or something. You know, don't let the enemy of our souls bring us to that point. What I'm trying to bring it to is just a focus on each one of us. What makes me lose my patience? What makes me not endure anymore? It's not a time to give up, whether it's, maybe it's even in your marriage today I'm speaking to. Maybe it's in your family life. Maybe it's in your job. Give God some time. He's not done, and he's made some promises to us. Does that seem foolish to any of us? Because then why are we even following God? He's made exceeding precious promises to each and every one of us. So could it be me was my question before. Acts 20, 22, 24, we should get going. Behold, Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there. We all want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's my husband or my wife going to do tomorrow? We want that. But Paul had such patience and such endurance and such trust in the one in whom he belonged to that he was saying, I don't know what's there. Why should I waste my time dwelling on something that I don't know yet? But in 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me there. Would we be willing to be patient and endure and walk into situations like that, knowing that that's going to come into my life? And when we do, I feel that's where God's promises come to life. That's when the seed that he's sowing in our lives germinate. That's when we start to see the fruit of our labors. But none of these things move me, is what he says. So I looked at that when I asked myself, well, could it be me, God? You know, I thought it was the circumstances. I thought it was my upbringing, No, it could be me. And Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Every one of us has got a course here today. We're going to finish it. And we're either going to get that promise at the last day or we're going to see that that reward, that promise might not be ours because of a lack of simply patience and endurance. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Every one of us in here today has that ministry. You are a walking Bible. You are a walking picture in modern times of Jesus Christ, and so am I. So, again, put that with patience. Put that with endurance. What moves me? What moves me? My flesh and my spirit. I've got time for a few more. Galatians 5. Let's move to that one. So I looked at that this week, my patience. Man, you know, I never had it. I was very impatient. I think that's the Irish spirit, not the Holy Spirit. You know, I've joked saying we're either crying or fighting all the time. You know, that's that life. But what moves me? Now that I'm in Christ, what is that? And I can think back, can let the pages of your life go back from the time that you were there and then the time that Christ came into our lives. Did you notice something changed at least and that we did have more patience? We had patience with people when we'd speak to them. We let them go a little bit further. And the Lord brought me to this one. It was like, Doug, verse 7 of Galatians 5, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Who drove you back is what this is saying. Who put you back into a fleshly mode? Why are you acting like you did before you had the Spirit of God? You ran well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Identify it, I think, is what the Lord is telling us today. Each one of us in our own way with our patience. Identify what it is that caused this, because it wasn't God. The shepherd leads the flock. The butcher drives the flock. We all know that analogy. This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. It isn't God. Remember, I said, so why? Who is it? Could it be me? Yeah, or the enemy. Acknowledge it is what he's saying here in this one. In verse 9, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Correct it. So just in those, I'd ask us all, meditate on that scripture this week for patience and endurance. Identify the problem, acknowledge what it is, take ownership of it, and then correct it. I can do it. I might not want to do it. And sometimes there is nothing better feeling than a verbal tongue lashing, is there? That shouldn't be so. Shouldn't be so. 2 Timothy 4. Time is short. It's a whole lot shorter than when you and I first believed. Can I work on this? You know, we can't fly yet, can we? I mean, that's foolish to sit there all day and flap our arms and think we're going to fly. But the one thing I can do in my life is to allow that seed that Christ has sown into my life to develop patience and endurance. Unless this isn't your problem, because some people, I can't believe how patient and what some people endure. But if it's in your life, I think it's time to fulfill our ministry. For I am now ready, verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, to be offered. That means I'm going. I'm going to pass. For my time of departure is at hand. When's mine? I don't know. Can I keep putting off what I know is not pleasing to the Lord, what is not pleasing to others, and definitely what's not pleasing to myself, if this is becoming a thought in your heart? I fought a good fight, did I? I finished my course, not done yet. That's endurance, isn't it? I've kept the faith. Henceforth, and this is where the promise comes, keeping the faith to the very end, not to the end of my patience, not to the end of what I'm willing to do, but to the end, when God calls me home and the dash no longer is important and there's Doug's life into eternity. I'm going to get cremated. That might bring gasps to some. But if for some strange reason I have a tombstone, don't any of you ever let or chisel it off. Don't put a finish date there. Because he's going to be working on me for eternity. So don't let that happen. How much time have I got? I finished my... Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Patience, endurance, promise. It's kind of, do you go to the Coke machine and just push Coke? That's when you kick it, right? Put the money in, push the button, out comes the product. Be patient. Endure those things that each one of us on our own way today are enduring, because it's not Doug telling you this. I hope it's God from these scriptures. Then the promise comes. Then the promise will come. Time is short, so I'm going to go and end it, but I can't end without, here's one, Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. Let's turn to Habakkuk, page 1008 in your New King James. You'll get right there that way. What can I do? Sometimes, you know, you hear this stuff and it just seems so overwhelming. We start to judge ourselves to a degree, which God doesn't want us to do. He wants us to correct things. He doesn't want us to just judge ourselves or judge others. Gives us the option to either live that way miserably and unhappy, or have abundant life and joy. Listen to my words. Put it into shoe leather in our terminology. So what can I do? And what was that prayer way back that they made millions on? Probably the prayer of Jabez. Remember that? It's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's more than just praying that prayer that we're going to see these things come. It's putting it into action. It's applying it to our lives. And I feel that the Spirit led me to chapter 2 of Habakkuk when I asked him, what can I? I'm trying. Lord, I'm trying. It just overpowers me at times, my patience. I just can't do it as much as I want. And he's saying, no, you just still want to do that. Endure a little bit more. So what can I do? And I want this to be my prayer. As your pastor, as a friend, even more so than your pastor, I hope that we can, each one of us, in our own way, get this message, no matter what's going on around us, and have the endurance to watch and see what God is going to do. This time of Habakkuk, when this all started, everything was going wrong. I mean, just a brief overview. I won't keep it going. Everything was going wrong. There was evil in the world at this time. There was no justice. The guilty were going free. There was no law during this time when we read all this. Violence was on the rise. People were yelling, "Where's God?" I looked at that and I thought, this was Fox News last night. Really? This is right where we are. Everything's going wrong. Evil is prevailing. Everything, lawbreakers are going free. The law just seems not to matter, only for a select few. Violence is, I'm thinking, how did this guy try to go out there and bring hope to everybody? How did this guy bring the promise of God to him? He did it with this. That's you, that's me. I will stand to see, okay, so this has an application. I want to be careful for those real theologians. You know, this is a judgment on the unrighteous, but it is Habakkuk's prayer, and everything in God's word has an application for us. It might not be to us directly, but it's for us. Doug Gibney, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And that tower is a fenced place. It's a place where maybe if we look at it in our minds that the enemy's not going to be allowed to get in here. I'm just not going to let it happen. And I know as I look out there, if somebody tried to kick your front door in, most of us would keep that individual from trying to get in to our families, to our wives, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren. We'd do everything in our power. Well, let's do it with Satan now. Fight. I said last week, you know, C.S. Lewis, or 2 weeks ago, I read a little quote, it's time for men to grow a chest, and it stopped me. But he wasn't saying transgenderism, excuse me, he was saying it's time to stand up. Time to stand up. Grow a chest, say no further than this. I will stand upon, and excuse me for getting excited, you know. I'll stand upon my watch and set upon me upon the tower and will watch. Look at the, I will watch to see what he will say to me. Start looking around is what this is. Oh, we want a direct word from God. I want to hear it from God. Well, look around. Look around and see what's happening. He's speaking it like through a bullhorn. I will watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I'm reproved or argued with. Doug, why don't you have patience? Oh, I got excuses. I got rationale like you wouldn't believe. My old cop partner told me one day, you are an expert at rationalization. At first I grew chest. I went, oh, wait a minute. I said, Pete, that wasn't a compliment, was it? He goes, no, by no means. You know? We all have an excuse, but there are no excuses when we get to the throne. It's going to be yes, no, and you're just. And the Lord answered me into and said, write the vision. Now, sometimes, you know, we think we did it 1 year. Remember when we were going to get doing all this stuff? We put a, what do they call, easel and a bullet point thing here. We wrote all the things we wanted to do, and then people would grab something and they were going to take that out into town. That's okay. But what the Lord is saying here, he said, write the vision. Make what we're saying as clear as we possibly can. And that's what I'm no orator. But what I feel God is saying is, Doug, just make what you're trying to get across as simple as possible. So that everyone, from the highest intelligence to the lowest, and that's when we witness the people, let them understand what God is trying to say. Patience, endurance, promise. Let's not blow that up to where somebody gets so confused. It's so simple. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. Got it. And that's what we do. We go out of here and we run with something and we have no patience and we lose our endurance. If it doesn't work in a week, we give it up and go on to something else. It's not what God is saying. Make it plain. I hope I did that today. So that he that reads it might run. Not run till we're exhausted. It means to increase. It means to receive it. It means to grow thereby. To watch the seed that God is planting in our lives, to watch that come to fruit, and don't give up until it does. Well, when's it going to happen? I've been enduring this for, you know, 12 hours. says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's like Daniel 10:14 when you go home. Read Daniel 10:14. God hears you. He heard him. He said, hey, I heard you the first time you brought that prayer up, but I have to do all this endurance and patience before the promise comes. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, takes time or seems to. We all say, oh, the Lord's tarrying. The Lord didn't tarry. He knows right what's going on. God has the date and everything. Although it tarry, or again, seems to, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Underline that. If you and I patiently endure, as Abraham did, if you and I patiently endure whatever the smallest or the largest affliction, circumstance, situation comes into our life, God says, it will not tarry. My promise will come to you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Remember those. Behold, in verse 4, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Faith in God. If you don't have it today, I beg you, come up here and ask the Lord into your life. Sit down with somebody and ask them, how can we present salvation in a way that I can understand it? Do that with somebody. Seth is up here every week. If it's a small problem with patience, then pray with somebody. Don't be ashamed. How many raised their hands before about losing patience? It's not like you're alone. It's not like you're the only one that ever loses their patience. Does that mean three times you have four or five? Do I hear six, seven, seven? The just a little bit. Faith in God. Faith in his promises. Knowing that it's going to come. And as old, what was his name? I almost said Andy Rooney. It wasn't Andy Rooney. Now for the rest of the story. Paul Harvey. And now for the rest of the story. It's at the end of Habakkuk. Maybe you won't read it, so I'll read it to you this week. Remember, nothing's going well. Is everything going well in all of our lives? I think if we're honest, the answer is no. No, it's not going well. Money, health, family, marriage, faith, patience, endurance. It's not going well. But look at how the story went when he started at the bottom. At the end, he winds up at the top. Just what God has in store for each one of us. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit will be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Nothing is going well here. But patience. He says, yet, in verse 18, yet, even though this is our endurance, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's endurance. 19 is the promise. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on stringed instruments. Let's praise him. Let's endure whatever it is in his name, and we're going to see those promises come. So, thank you. Praise God. Let's stand and worship our Lord.